Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ.
We want to welcome you to episode 4 of the Pastor's Porch. Today we are going to talk about God still heals. We have a guest on our podcast today who we will introduce to you in a little bit, but Pastor Zach and I are going to kind of talk about just in preface today's discussion on God still heals.
All right. Well, welcome everybody. So glad that you joined us once again. We are thankful to be with you. And today we are blessed, as Pastor T said, we have a guest with us. We have Brother Cody, a member of our church. And God's done a work in his life and done a miracle recently in his life in the last month or so here. Something that happened in our church and it happened in his life. And we want to talk about that in a minute. But first, we want to talk about the reality that God still does heal. There are some pretty mainline denominations, and I'm not here to bash anybody or go against anybody, but I'm here to promote the Word of God. There are some people today that would teach that God does not heal, that God has ceased healings, and the miraculous does not happen. And much like we preached a few weeks ago, I don't believe there's a demon under every bushel. I don't know that there's a miracle around every corner, but Jesus is still the same. The Bible says very plainly in Hebrews 13 and 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The character of God has not changed.
Nope.
The character of healing has not changed. And God's willingness to meet people through and utilizing the miraculous is something that's real. But before we go into this teaching, I do feel like we need to give some more Bible. So I'm going to go to Mark 16. I'm going to go to the 15th verse, and I'm going to read down through the 18th verse. And then I'm going to make a statement at the end of that, and I hope that it helps us understand with clarity why miracles happen. Okay? So I read this, and it says, Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not will be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will drink any deadly thing, and it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. There's a very interesting line in there that I think the modern charismatic church misses, which is, these signs will follow them.
Yep.
We're going to talk about miracles today, but I'm not following miracles.
Correct.
Miracles follow
the anointing
us.
And the power of Jesus.
Yeah, follows the anointing us. Of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
We don't have to chase miracles. You don't got to drive to the other side of America to search down a certain building or a certain teacher, this sort of thing. I believe with all my heart that signs and wonders follow them who are anointed in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to major in it. I have laid hands, and people may get uncomfortable with this. I have laid hands on dead people and begged God to raise them. To this point, I've not seen that happen.
Correct.
But it doesn't stop me from believing that God can.
Absolutely.
It doesn't stop me from believing that God does. I have had seen some miraculous things. People die on a hospital bed and the Lord bring them back when we was praying in the other room. But these things are not things that I'm chasing.
Correct.
These things are a result of being in relationship with Jesus and full of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the biggest thing I want people to understand today, Pastor T, is that I'm not chasing miracles.
Correct. We're chasing Jesus.
We're chasing
the
Jesus.
Author of miracles.
Yes.
Yeah, and I wanted to kind of backtrack to go forward. The prophet Isaiah, you know, he prophesies about it with Jesus on the cross in Isaiah 53:5, where it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes,
yes,
we are healed.
Amen.
And so you first have to realize that it was because of the cross, the crucifixion,
that's right,
the death and resurrection of Jesus, that we have this power available to see it, okay?
Yes.
And the signs and wonders. And then I want to conclude before we talk with Cody today in Acts 1, verse 8, but it says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be a witness to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And so to kind of go along with what you're saying, we're not chasing the miracles. We know that miracles happen because of Jesus and what he did on the cross. And through his resurrection, mm-hmm. we now have that same power afforded to us through the Holy Spirit to see those signs and wonders because of that. And so I think the emphasis that we're going to talk about today, and I know Brother Cody's going to talk about today as well, is the emphasis on when we yield to the Holy Spirit and allow God to work through our lives, and we respond to the calling and the things that he has said to us, that's when miracles happen.
Amen. And so I'll set the platform for Brother Cody. I'll set the platform for Brother Cody and just kind of be transparent. Now remember, the name of the podcast is The Pastor's Porch. This is a place where we're free to talk, to discuss, to talk through what has happened. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going in my fourth year, or how long I've been here, but miracles are something we have seen here. Even through my predecessor, Pastor Brian, I don't remember a time we didn't see miracles here. Yeah. And it comes in spurts sometimes, but we've never been void of the hand of God since my time in this place. But something we've seen in the last few years is an uptick in the operation of the prophetic and of the healing and of the miraculous. I don't get to pick and choose those days. I don't know when they're coming. And on this day in particular, I'll kind of set the stage for Brother Cody and then let him go into it. And Cody, if I say something wrong, I'm remembering it as the Holy Spirit's give it to me. So you're going to tell the story. I'm just going to set it up. The Lord had told me during worship that he wanted to touch somebody. And he specifically gave me the word that he wanted to touch somebody's back in an area that where there were some things compressed. And as I got up, I made a call for them sick in body. And I told the whole church, several hundred people in the room, didn't know anybody had back issues, didn't know anybody was dealing with anything specifically, but I knew that the Lord had told me that there was somebody with some compression and some pain in their disc. And I remember giving an altar call, and I remember quite a few people coming down. I remember quite a few, 8 or 10, maybe more people coming forward. And I remember praying with many that day. And then, but there was an interesting moment you and I had after the service where you told me you felt the Holy Spirit touch you. And so I've kind of set that up, and you probably got a lot more details than that. But we want you to share with us just whatever you're comfortable in the Spirit of God sharing. And you go into as much detail as you like, but just be free, and you're free to converse with us, and you're free to share as much as you like. And even at the end or at the beginning, at your discretion, you can share as to why we're in this room today and what the Holy Spirit has been doing in your life. And so, Cody, brother, welcome.
Yes,
we invite you. Thank you. And we invite you to share what the Holy Spirit's been doing in your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're right. There's a lot of detail I can add, but definitely not enough time. So just kind of little backstory, a little, you know, history. So when I was 18, I was diagnosed with advanced stage degenerative disc disease. I think it was still stage one, but it was late stage one. So my disc had already started eroding, things like that, but I wasn't really in pain yet. And also at this point, when they found that out, they also saw that I had a 3-centimeter tear down the middle of my spinal cord, about C7, you know, vertebrae area, base of the neck. And somehow I survived football because I had that beginning of my senior year. It was real abusive to myself, so I shouldn't even be here from that standpoint. But anyway, so yeah, as time went on, the pain intensities just increased. And a couple years ago, a doctor took an x-ray of my neck or my back, and he saw that I had entered stage 2 degenerative disc disease, which means I've developed bone spurs, things like that. So those are kind of hooked and kind of aiming back into my discs, stuff like that. So, and the degradation was worse. And last few years, I've actually gotten to the point where if I'm doing things like, leaning over, like doing dishes, my back will seize up entirely, and I can't bend it. It's really painful, and I have to get, I've got to sit there and just try to slowly kind of stretch my back out where I can move again, or lay on the ground and let my back kind of decompress, things like that. It's pretty rough. On the 16th, April 16th, that morning, I had pain, moderate pain is kind of an average thing for me, for my back. So that morning, had moderate pain, came to church. That was a Sunday, obviously. Came to church, the whole morning my back was really just inflamed. It wasn't happy with me. You did, at one point do an altar call for specifically someone with vertebrae, disc, and compression of the spine. I believe those are the words you used. And I was like, that fits me pretty well. So I decided to go ahead, what I got to lose. So I went ahead, came down, and there were several people down there, and I saw a group of people praying over an older gentleman, which later revealed me, maybe Jim. So I just joined them, started praying over him for healing, and while I was doing that, there was I felt a weird sensation. It felt like fingertips coming, like the ends of your fingers coming from the sides of my spine, and actually touching my spine. It was firm but gentle, want to have a good grasp, but you don't want to hurt.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a flutter because the fingers hit slightly different times. It wasn't all just the same time. And so I felt these fingers touch my spine, and then suddenly the pain I'd been feeling all morning was just gone.
Praise nothing. The Lord.
It was just instant dissolved, out of my back. And I stopped mid-prayer, and I was kind of trying to figure out what just happened. And I was kind of moving my back and trying to see if I could get that pain to, if I just shifted funny, didn't know. And then, seconds later, you approached me with a group of people and asked, pray over me and what I needed. And I was still kind of in a confused state.
Yeah.
I was like, my lower back. But at the same time, my head, I was like, do I still need that?
Yeah.
I went back to my chair and I was still very confused. All morning, I was very confused in what happened exactly. And because I would never expect something like that to happen. Never expect the Holy Spirit to heal me.
Right.
Especially in that situation.
Right.
Broad daylight in front of everyone. Like you said, I did talk to you about it after the fact, and I was like, I think this happened.
Yeah, I remember that.
But then, I after that, I was like, I'm gonna give it some time before I really lean into this and really accept that it was a miracle, because I'm someone that likes to make sure of things before I just leap down paths and make accusations. And after a week, which is unheard of for me, after a week of no pain whatsoever in my spine, I knew there was more to it than just things shifted funny.
Right.
And I'm just suddenly was freed of that pain. And then here we are a month later, I've just had zero pain in my spine.
Praise
and that's
the Lord,
with me
yeah.
doing basically everything I knew in the past that would basically cripple me for an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
What brings us to here, where we are today is last Friday, May 5th, I was driving. I was actually taking a tire to get patched up in town and just listening to music. And I was actually contemplating the whole, when people say, open your heart to God, what that what that meant. I wasn't praying. I was just thinking about that phrase, you know. And while I was doing that, I just was suddenly overwhelmed with this just intense feeling of happiness, joy, love that was being like pushed into me. Like, it wasn't coming from me, but it was being pushed into me.
So good.
And it was, let's just say, caught me off guard. You know, I was doing everything in my power to hold it together while I was driving. you know, while I was still trying to process what was going on, there was a voice being spoken into me. Not like, you know, I wasn't hearing words, I wasn't hearing voices. It was like spoken into my chest, and I understood what it was saying. And it told me, what are the odds that you were chosen for a miracle? Of all the believers, of all the non-believers, of all the believers to be, of all the people that live in this area, which at that point I saw an image of, like an aerial image of like West Fork area. And, you know, it kind of zoom out. I was seeing images of these places they're mentioning, but of all the people in this area, in Northwest Arkansas, the state, the country, the world, the solar system, the galaxy, the neighboring galaxies, and the universe and beyond. And so at this point, I'm looking at what I assume is the universe, just a bunch of specks, but you also know those are all galaxies.
Right.
And there's a small pause, and then it said, what are the odds that you were chosen? And as it said that, it zoomed all the way back in through all those, you know, the universe, galaxy, all that, zoomed back in to image of me. And that was a little, you know, hard to keep track of, you know, keep myself together at that point too. But then it showed me three images. I saw three images. One was of me and my wife talking, which I instantly knew what day it was and what
right.
we were talking about. It was the Thursday before the miracle happened.
Yes.
And me and my wife, this is after I started really, you know, reading the Bible and really trying to get into it. And it's all in light, you know, all light spirit. You know, I wasn't meaning anything malicious, but I was kind of joking with my wife. You know, it was like, I was saying that, you know, as you read through all these books, you know, there's the way they have all these miracles and everything happening, it's almost like there's like an Oprah Winfrey miracles going around, like, you get a miracle, you know. And I was kind of just joking about it, you know. It's like,
sure.
You know, but, you know, it's like, man, like, I'm not sure if it was the time frame at the time because of, you know, what was happening, or if it was, you know, what it was, but it seems like there's a lot more miracles happening then than there are now. Hmm. Or I'm just not seeing these miracles. And I said something along the lines that, I wish I could see more of them.
Mm.
And so, you know, I kind of take that, you know, Holy Spirit took that as a challenge. It's like, challenge accepted. And then the next image I saw was an image of you, Zach. And it was an image, never seen you in this setting, but it was an image of you, and you were outside. It was kind of like From the image, the point of view of the image, where this image is coming from, is like slightly, like you're slightly raised, like you're standing on something, maybe a little higher, but like this image from like looking up at you a little bit, but there's blue skies behind you, and I see like the tops of trees, you know, like it's like the bottom of the tree is kind of cut off because of the angle, and basically I was letting me know that I was being told that, you know, the Holy Spirit heard what I said, and decided to, all right, let's make something of this and start talking to you and
so
leading you to do what you did. And then I saw a image of the sanctuary empty, which at this point I've never seen that room empty. It's empty from basically around the point where I was standing. When I came out of my chair, a standing aisle, it was that point, but it was empty. And that was, you know, basically saying, and then it led to the events of the miracle. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit laid it out for me. This is how it came to be. And then there was an image, and then it switched to an image of me and Zach standing in front of the sanctuary, alone, like talking. And then it went from just a picture to me being in my own shoes, but just along for the ride, and it became more of a scene. And I was telling Zach, you know, I said, our Lord and Savior performed a miracle right here in this room.
Yeah.
And I walked over to the spot where I was, you know, basically kind of to a point reenacting. And I walked over, I stood where I was standing, and I said, I'm standing right here, and in front of everyone's eyes, the Lord reached into my back, touched my spine, and healed me.
Amen.
And then I turned around, pointed at the ground, like right behind me, and I said, and I told him that our Lord and Savior stood right here, mere feet from you, and performed a miracle.
Yeah.
And he did it in front of everyone's eyes, but yet no one saw it, and no one knew it happened. And this miracle can't be ignored. Someone needs to hear it.
Yeah.
And when I was saying that last, you know, line about it can't be ignored and someone needs to hear it, I was filled with this feeling that sense of urgency, like someone actually desperately needed to hear about this story.
Amen.
And I was left with this feeling that it was going to change something drastic for somebody. Don't know who that is, don't know in what way, but that was a very intense feeling I got when I was saying that. And after, you know, that was kind of the end of the scene that I was seeing. And then there was this one, you have to bear with me. I had a thought kind of toward God, toward the Holy Spirit. And I thought, at times I wish you had a physical body so that people could see you perform these miracles.
Sure.
And believe. And I promptly got a response that said, why do I need a body when I have you? So, that was hard to keep together as well. But there was, after that, I was left with three thoughts that were not my own. They were kind of placed in my head, kind of like if you really thought about something, it was a fresh thought you had, and you're like, I need to remember to do that, and you just kind of stick it back in your head, but it's right there. Mm-hmm. There was three things that were left kind of in that state in my head, one of which was I needed to get this message to Zach as soon as possible. I needed to tell him the story. The second thing was something to do, I guess, with the future that God has plans for me. But I was left with two words, and one was miracle and healing. Mm-hmm. Don't know what that means, but I'm sure time will tell. And I don't want to read into it. And the third thing was, which I actually kept from Zach through our meeting, because we did meet, as you know, I was being told to do. And I kept from him until the very end, and this message was, I was to deliver this message to Zach, but it was not his story to tell. And that's kind of what I was left with. And after that event, of course, I get home and I'm like a, you know, an animal in a cage. I'm just pacing. I'm just, you know, trying to process what just happened. And so that's what I kind of led to here.
Yeah.
It's the coolest story, man. I'm telling you, I just want to unpack a little bit of it because, of course, from the seat I'm sitting in, it's an unbelievable, amazing account. But I do want to talk through some things maybe you didn't talk about just for clarity's sake. Cody, I don't know, I mean, I remember I baptized you a couple months ago, seemingly.
It was a few weeks ago, actually.
Okay.
I was after the miracle.
The miracle? Okay.
Wow.
And so, but I wouldn't say you're new to the faith, but you're new to this church.
Yeah.
I mean, relatively, I mean, you tell me, less than a year for sure. And I think, because I remember it seemed like at one point you and I had a conversation just about your faith and coming back to your faith or getting through the muddy waters and working out your salvation. So to me, as the man that's blessed, the pastor of this church, sitting in the corner I'm sitting in, I'm watching the Holy Spirit just all over you. And it's amazing to me. But I just want to make it clear for people to hear this. This is not like somebody, you've not been here for 15 or 20 years. No. You and I have not had a relationship. You and I probably just spoke for the first time at any length within the last 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
That'd be a fair statement.
Yep, that's fair.
And so for me, this just shows you like God's no respecter of persons.
The intentionality.
Yeah, like how amazing is this that God just zeroed in the part you said about being able to see yourself and then going each level up higher, higher, higher. You don't know. I've had visions of this church that are very similar to what you started explaining, kind of a different context, but a similar type vision. And so that was really neat to me to hear that. But man, it's just an amazing story.
Yeah.
It really, truly is. I love the Thursday conversation with your wife.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Leading up to it, it's the joking. That is just how
God kind of works. That's who we are.
Well, I mean it is. You're right. It is. You know, and also just the fact that you tested some things out. I'm reminded of the story. I don't remember exactly who it is in the Old Testament where they're like, put a blanket on the grass outside, and they were like, Lord, we want the grass wet, but the blanket dry.
Gideon.
And then the Lord did it, and he goes, okay, I'm going to put the same thing out there, but this time I want the blanket wet and the grass dry. But, I mean, it shows that when God actually does something in our life, our carnal minds can't comprehend it to the fullest.
Yeah.
And so it's human nature to try some of those things out. But then at the same time, when you physically are able to do something you haven't done for so long, how much more that means spiritually in your relationship with Christ that something like this has happened. And it's just, it's awesome and shows the character and the nature of who God really is, and how he cares about us each individually. And something that you said at the very beginning struck me, and I don't think it's this way for everybody, but something that you said from the very beginning of this, it reminds me of the story of Job. You said you were dealing with something yourself, but you chose to come pray for others.
Yeah.
And it was in the moment you were praying for others that you physically felt the healing of God. And it reminds me of the story of Job, and a lot of people don't talk about this, and a lot of people miss this in the story of Job. Job 42:10. It says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Mm-hmm. And you saying that, it just reminded me, and then can't forget the second part. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Mm-hmm. And I understand, like, the context in the story of Job is turning all of Job's struggles and what everything was taken from him back. But at the same time, I can't help but think that that verse in the story of Job means so much more than just that. I mean, just look at your story, man, of how God healed you. Is you said, you know what, I have this problem, but I also see the needs of everybody else in the church, and I'm going to go be a servant and pray for them. And it was in that moment of you praying for them that God touched you. And I found that so just fascinating. And I'm not saying that all miracles work that way, but it shows the intentionality and the heart behind God, of the fact and the heart behind you, Cody, of you wanted to serve more than you wanted something for yourself, and God honored you because of that. And I find that so fascinating and so rewarding, of just who you are as an individual and what God is going to be able to do and use through the healing of and the testimony of this.
Yeah, and you know, you were asking a little bit about my past, you know, religious wise. You know, I grew up in a house that didn't really, you know, I think my parents did, you know, they used to go to church and stuff like that when I was like really young before I had any idea about it. But they did go to church, but I think they were putting, you know, kind of in a situation where, I think my mom was always stuck with doing daycare stuff. Like, she could never actually be out there. Like, they just kind of like, hey, you can do this, you know. And so I think they just stopped going because of something like, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
And then I grew up in, you know, I didn't really go to church. You know, I didn't really know God or know about him very well. I mean, I knew of him, you know, knew of God. But as I got older, I don't think I really started feeling a pull for him until, well, I guess it would have been after my, I had a severe concussion around, like, shortly, basically my senior year of high school. And after my concussion, I was pretty bad. It took me, I think, 3 years for my brain to recover from that. But in that time frame, I started, you know, I felt this pull that I needed to go to church. You know, just this pull in my chest that I needed to go. And all these churches I'd go to, it just didn't feel right, you know. And I felt like, you know, I'd walk into the door and I just felt judged immediately. Like who are you, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I went to several churches and like that. And I didn't find a church. Like, the first church I actually found that I felt somewhat comfortable in was New Heights over there. Because there's so many people, I just blend in, you know. But it became more of a problem because of the vast, you know, vast number of people, and there's no parking, you know, and which, you know, it's a great place, but it just became too much of a kind of a pain with kids and, you know, stuff like that. And so we happen to live just a few minutes from here, and we're like, you know what, like, let's try to find another church. And all these years, even though I'm feeling that pull in my chest, like, I need to go to church, part of me was still reluctant. Like, it's, you know, it's still kind of internally kind of combating it, because I'm very logical minded. So if I can't see it, touch it, smell it, or whatever, it's hard for me to fathom.
Sure.
And so, we finally decided, all right, we'll try this church out. And that was like last fall. And that's when we started coming here. And so, all these years I felt like, especially when I started going to New Heights, you know, I just felt that pull, like it just got more intense over the years. And when we were there, like, I felt this urge to get baptized every time I went in and all this stuff. But I was fighting it. Because I was like, something just didn't, like, this wasn't the right place kind of thing for me. And so we got here and I just felt like walking the door and just felt like home. Like, I just felt comfortable. Like, I felt like this isn't the place. And so I knew I could actually kind of let go of those, you know, like, stop holding myself back. I just open up and just try to actually now learn about God. Learn about Jesus. Learn, you know, take all that in and learn as much as I can. And then, yeah, basically, I just, at that point, I just kind of gave in.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, so I would probably have been going here since, you know, the fall sometime.
Yeah. Man, that's unbelievable. God is so good. I'm telling you, that's the whole, your whole life, to hear that. It's just something Pastor T and I have been talking about, is the pursuit of God. Like, how each soul and each person, in the way that God pursues us all, it's just a fascinating account, man. It's so cool how God's worked this out in your life, what he's done. And I just wanted to read these verses when T was talking about out of Job. I was thinking about the verses out of James. It says very plainly, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now watch, this is where it's going to get interesting. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if you've committed sins, they will be forgiven. Now watch, this is where I really got to with you. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another you may be healed.
Yes.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I love that word, man.
Yeah.
But that healing is for everyone.
It's for everyone.
It's for everyone. It's not
It doesn't say pray for somebody else and the person you're praying for will be healed.
It says that
you
may be healed
when you pray for one another.
And
so good.
To think about infirmities and iniquity and different things that we all deal with, I just can see in my spirit that day. I remember people coming to the altar and I could see y'all over there praying over the other man, and we were over here praying over somebody. And to think that that's the moment that the Holy Spirit chose to heal you.
Yeah, seconds before you walked over to me.
Yeah. Like, and that seconds. Just shows, like I always say, like when people come to salvation, you know, they're like, well, when do they get saved? Is it when they raise their hand? Is it when they walk the aisle? And well, I tell people, like, before you made the comment to raise your hand, before you make a statement to raise your hand, you're believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit has already drawn you to salvation. So the same thing, I mean, all the Lord did with me on that day was give me a word of knowledge. I had no knowledge of your back issues. I had no reason to stand in front of the church and say that other than this one thing. The Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, saw fit in that moment to give me a word of knowledge, unbeknownst to you. We didn't plan that. We didn't know that. No. We didn't have a text before church that said, hey, when I say this, you come forward. I mean, I know those things go on in some of these ministries, and it's wrong because it's deception.
Correct. Right.
But I had no knowledge of that.
Yeah.
Yet Holy
I know you didn't,
Spirit.
We talked a little bit about it in the men's group.
And I left the
you
room.
You left before I even started.
God took me out of the room. We had baseball practice.
Yeah.
And when Cody started sharing his testimony, the Lord removed me from the room because my two sons had baseball practice.
Yep.
And so the Holy Spirit didn't even let me have knowledge of it. But in worship that day, and in the pastor's seat, when the Holy Spirit says, this is what I want you to say, I know everyone likes to pretend they're all super spiritual and they're running to the microphone, but sometimes it's not that you doubt, it's not that you question, but like the other day, the Lord was dealing with me about the spirit of suicide. It's intimidating to get up in front of 300 people and say, someone in here is dealing with the spirit of suicide and God wants to set you free.
Sure it is.
Because we all have that little piece of us that doesn't want to be rejected. We talked about last week.
I was going to say it.
We talked about
it. We think it's a personal rejection,
right.
But it's not.
So I'm not. So our listeners aren't the only ones that deal with that. We deal with that too.
No, we deal with that as pastors, absolutely.
But on that day, come full circle, a month later, and even when we had that meeting maybe last Friday in the sanctuary, it's just good for my heart to hear this.
Yeah, it is.
It's good for the body of Christ to hear the individual pursuit of God in Cody's life.
I love what Cody said at the very beginning, you know, the conversation with your wife.
Yeah.
Seems like there's more miracles in the Bible and we're not seeing any, or maybe if there are,
we're not aware of them. That's kind of how I was saying, like, it was all lightheartedness. I wasn't trying to make jabs.
Sure.
I wasn't trying to challenge.
And then God's intentionality is, he's like, you know what? Your heart in that, I'm going to touch you.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool, man. It's just so cool.
The neatest thing to me, as we're kind of wrapping up, we're kind of slowing it down here, is I've been wanting to do a podcast for about 3 years. And even to go further, you wouldn't tell it from today. Cody, if I speak out of turn, you tell me, kind of a more introverted personality.
Very much so.
And
I can't stand being in front of people. And this right here is pushing my limits.
And so, Holy Spirit, you and I have been talking about this, just
order.
How he lines things up. And even he said, when he came to me in that meeting last week, which you didn't know he and I were supposed to be alone. I didn't know he and I were supposed to be alone. I was going to invite you in the room, but the Holy Spirit took you away.
Yeah.
And then he says, we're supposed to be alone anyway.
Yep.
So great. So God did that, right? And so, but how God even uses the simple thing of starting a podcast, I think this is like our fourth episode, and because Cody may not have been ready to stand in front of the whole church and say it, yet through technology, now he's getting to tell the whole world.
Yeah.
No offense, I'm not against you.
No, you're fine.
Because there's going to be a day when you're going to do that.
Yeah.
But
I gotta work up there.
Yeah. but just amazing how God even just set this platform, because even 2 or 3 months ago,
what
I said, Cody, I don't know how to tell the whole church if you can't get up to a microphone, you know.
Well,
but
even the fact that God specifically told him this isn't even though it's a testimony that he shared with you, it wasn't for you to share with others.
Right.
The intentionality behind that and just the platform
working
now
his things
that he gets to speak. It's,
well, you know, I held that bit from you, you know, in our conversation because I wasn't trying, I didn't want to lead you either. I wanted it to be, you know, Lord, you know, the Lord speaking,
absolutely,
you know, with you and guiding you, because in that, you know, that when I was told to come to you, it was very clear you would have the answer I needed. You would be the next puzzle piece for me to move on with my next steps.
I don't have any answers like that.
And so,
the Holy Spirit, God,
yeah.
I don't know.
And that's why I withheld that bit, that last piece, until the very end, until we were done talking, we were leaving the sanctuary, and that's when I gave it to you.
And look at the Holy Spirit, man.
It's just so awesome.
He's so amazing.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, if you guys are, you know, listening, remember, God still heals. God's still working. God still delivers. And so wherever you're at listening right now, if you've got a need, just bring that before the Lord.
Yes.
In this moment right now, bring it before the Lord. You know, talk to somebody about it. Pray with people that you trust and you believe in and share. And you know what? Maybe it's a need you haven't shared before.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cody's a great example of it wasn't a need that was shared with a lot of individuals. And God still was intentional about making sure that he was healed through that.
Mm.
And one thing I want to, you know, I want to talk about too is we believe in healings. We believe in miracles. But ultimately, God's timing is the important one. And that's hard for us to comprehend. And that's hard for us to understand it sometimes. But God has a moment for each of us for our healings and for miracles to happen. And we need to be persistent in our faith for that to happen. And so I think we're going to pray, and then we will conclude this podcast for today. So Pastor Zach, do you want to close us in prayer?
You bet. So, Father, Lord, just thank you. Just the most humbly way I can say it for my friend. Thank you for the work you've done in Cody's life as his pastor, to hear of the internal workings and the external workings you've been doing in the last few months, it's very humbling to me. As his friend, I'm so grateful that you've done this work in his life. As a minister, to know that you're going to utilize this to reach more people to further the kingdom, it absolutely just blesses me, because people will come to know Jesus because of Cody's testimony.
Yes.
And so for me to sit here and ponder how many will believe, that's the why in the miracle. You are the why in the miracle.
Yes, you are.
Your cross, your resurrection, your Holy Spirit, your hope. Cody's children will walk in faith.
Yes.
Because of this miracle.
Yes.
Cody has friends and family, co-workers. We probably have people in this church whose faith will be bolstered and improved when they hear of this miracle.
Yes.
We have people in the region who will hear of this miracle. And all these people will bring glory to the name Christ alone. So I thank you. I thank you for the work you've done in Cody. I pray for a continuing work and outpouring of the Holy Spirit here at Unity and in Northwest Arkansas. I thank you for the lives you're saving and the miracles you're doing. Continue to work through us here in this place. May we be your hands and feet. May we see the goodness of who you are and the reality of your Spirit moving every day, every conversation, every walk. Jesus, help us to honor you, help us to follow you with sincere hearts, and help us to trust in you with all that we have. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Cody, thank you for joining us today. Thank you guys for tuning in to episode 4 of The Pastor's Porch. Remember, God still heals. Thanks for listening to The Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you.
Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.